Welcome to Alive to Give Life, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwe. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive City Church. He's a seasoned and anointed teacher of the Word of God. As you listen to this message, get ready for a complete turnaround in every area of your life. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
Amen. I want to continue talking tonight about what I've been teaching for the past few Fridays on the subject of sight. And I want to say that it has been such a blessing to myself ever since I've been teaching on this. It's really been a blessing to myself. Hallelujah. And I want to believe that it's also going to be a blessing to you. Amen. Right now, I'm going to read from Isaiah 42, verse 19. The Bible says, "Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord?" Verse 20 says, "You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen." Amen. We've been talking about the great effects of prayer on your vision. How powerful prayer can affect what you see. How powerful prayer can affect your vision. Like I've said many times before, and I was sharing this, I don't know whether it was with Pastor Pumi or somebody else, but I was somebody I was sharing this with, that if you are in a dark room and you are sitting in a dark room, usually you are not aware of what else is in that room with you because you can't see it. Therefore, you can be comfortably seated, not knowing that just 2 meters or just few meters away from you, also comfortably is seated a mamba. Now, you can't see it. It probably can't see you too, or it can. Maybe just under your chair is a scorpion. You can't see it. As a matter of fact, right where you are sitting, there might be something underneath it. Just check. You never know. Now, we are comfortable when we can't see. Lack of sight creates complacency. Lack of sight, inability to see. It affects your action. The Bible says, "A people sitting in great darkness." When you are in the dark, you sit. Sitting gives the idea of inactivity and productivity. You can't see, and because you can't see, you can't move. You try to run in the dark, you won't be able to run as fast as you want to. You try to cook in the dark. No matter what a good cook you are, let the light go off. Just the finding of the spices. Try to do anything when you can't see. Then I'm hoping that this message will make sense to you. The reason why there is no sense of urgency in our lives is because of lack of sight. No sense of urgency concerning prayer, no sense of urgency concerning holiness, no sense of urgency concerning the things of God, no sense of urgency concerning even our very own lives. The reason why there is no sense of urgency is as a result of short-sightedness. It's lack of sight that leads people to sit down and relax when they could be doing more. It's simple that. And I want to remind you that a man as powerful as Samson, when he was finally subdued, won't you cut the hands of a man who killed 1,000 of you if you can subdue the person?
Like if you could finally subdue the person, won't you cut his hands so that they will never grow back? Am I talking to you? But once Samson was subdued, what did the Philistine go for? His eyes. Because as long as you can see, something can start babbling inside of you. No matter how lame and how empty, without hands you are, if you can see, I could show you the picture of Nick now. Some of you know Nick, this guy from Australia. No hands, no feet. He's been seeing. And because he's been able to see without hands and without legs, he had married a wife that some of us will just dream, will wish in our dreams. Children speaking to presidents, no hands, no legs. You have two hands, two legs. You haven't spoken even to the counselor of Channing. A man without hands and legs have been speaking to presidents. Nick enters stadiums, people stand. People wait at airports to meet a man without hands and legs. You've been moving around. No one even knows you are around. Now, I want to show you something. What has caused a man without hands and legs to have such an impact in the world? He's so beyond his hands and his legs. There is something he can still see. Though he can't see, though he can't touch, he can't walk, he can see. He can see. If you could grasp what I'm trying to communicate to you right now, you will wake up. As a matter of fact, when you are asleep, it means your eyes are closed. It's foolishness and witchcraft to be awake while you are asleep. Is it possible that you are looking at us and you are asleep? Some people are like that. He'll be standing like this, looking at the watch, he's gone. Normally, when your eyes close and you are asleep, the first sign that you are asleep is that your eyes close. You can't see anymore. That's the first sign. How do I know that you are asleep? What do I look? Do I look at your legs when you are asleep? I look at your hands to know that you are asleep. What do I look? Your eyes. What does that tell me? You are asleep. You can't see. I can come in. All right? What does that tell me? It tells me you can't defend yourself when you are asleep. What does that tell me? It tells me the place is free for action. You are asleep. And you are asleep means you can't see. Can I submit to you that you can be asleep while awake? You are awake, but you are asleep. You are asleep to the spiritual world. You are asleep to the realities beyond your natural eyes. Therefore, that atmosphere is entirely open to satanic attack. It's open to anyone to come. People are having fun all around it because you can't see what is happening right before your eyes. Somebody is going to see here before this service is over in Jesus' name. You are receiving your sight. You are receiving your sight. That is the greatest key of life. Now, go back to verse 19, the first verse I gave you now. Who is blind? Not who is poor. Who is blind? Not people that are moving around going to taverns. My servant, God is speaking, say, my servant, the person who is claiming to be saving me, can't see. Can't see the potential I place in them. Can't see my glory in my word. Can't see the things that I'm doing around them. There are children of God. They can't see nothing God is doing. Like if you ask them now, what is God doing in your life right now? They don't know. What is God currently doing in your family? They can't see it. What is the direction God is trying to take your life into? They can't see. They are blind. And I remind you, for me to know that you are asleep, I check your eyes. If your eyes are closed, then I know the area is safe. You can't defend yourself. You can't see what is coming. Anything can happen. If you don't believe me, go home tonight. Wait when your little brother is asleep. You can even slap him. He won't know. You can slap him. You can pour water on his head. Don't do it. Some people sleep. How many of you know that some people can sleep deeply? Are you one of them? Like you sleep deep. They can carry you, put you in the bath, remove you, put you back in the bed. You don't wake up. Comatic psychologic sleep. You are deep in sleep. And in the spirit is the same. Some people are so asleep. No matter how much the fire of the Holy Spirit is coming, they can't feel nothing. Devils can take them back and forth to hell. Like they visit hell from time to time. You are receiving your sight. I say you are receiving your sight. You must understand, I'm not one of those preachers who will just let you make you feel happy. I want you to get something into your spirit. I want you to really come out of darkness. The Bible called the kingdom of Satan the kingdom of darkness. It means it's the kingdom of people who can't do what? Can you see in darkness? Satan is called the prince of darkness. So wherever Satan is at, where there is darkness, you can't see. You can't see. He's called the prince of deception. The Bible says the devil who deceived the nation. In other words, he makes you think that you are seeing, but you are not seeing. He deceives you. He makes you see something, and he tells you it's this. Brothers and sisters, people as smart as people that have gone to the moon and attempting to go to Mars, Satan has deceived them to believe that there is something they were not born to be. And they have accepted it. They have written books about it. That's how strong the guy is. So it takes, you need to see. We need to see. If you could just see a little bit, your laziness will leave you. I promise you. When you can just see a little bit, just a little bit, you change. You change. Now, for example, we were kept in the darkness as far as education and is concerned. Because you were not supposed to read. Because if you can learn how to read, what is going to happen? You're going to see. And the moment you can see, you're going to start rebelling. You're going to start fighting. You're going to start saying no to this, no to that. So for us to keep you under control, for you to be kept unable to fight, following willingly, saying yes, sir, three times, for you to be able to do all of that, I must keep you away from the key of light. Light in the Hebrew is knowledge. Light is knowledge, information. The more we say you are in the dark, you don't know something. Something you don't know. And that is how our great, great, great grandparents were controlled. Because they were not allowed to read. They were not allowed to know certain, they were not even allowed to see certain things. Many of us sitting here, the company you work for is controlled in a certain way. Certain things you can't see. You only see what you are allowed to see. When they enter into the boardroom to have meetings, do they call you? So you don't see what they are saying. They don't hear what they are saying. So you are in the dark. They can even be there deciding that one, we are taking them next week. And they come out of the meeting and say, hello, sir, can I make you tea? Because you don't know what they just decided. So your greatest asset in the kingdom, the greatest asset of a servant, God is not saying, who is prayerless but my servant? The greatest asset, a servant who pray with that sight is wasting time. You are praying on what you don't even see. Moving around, kabayagaba. You can't see nothing. So what are you praying against? What are you praying on? What are you working on? Prayer with that sight is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. I didn't say, who is uneducated by my servant? Who is blind by my servant? Who is blind? Who is blind to the realities of December? Who is blind to the realities of his own family? Who is blind to the realities of her past? She has no clue why things are going on the way they are going in her life. She can't figure out why she's still at this stage in her life at this time. She can't understand why. Because she can't see. You see? She can't see. Her eyes have been closed. She eats with her enemies. He drinks with the very people that are the reason why he is where he is. Can't see. You shall see in the name of Jesus Christ. I see you receiving a fresh sight from the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan is after sight. Don't think Satan. Satan is after sight. The Bible says the God of this has blinded the minds of the people. He is blinding the minds of the people. Your mind shall not be blinded in Jesus' name. The Bible also says that darkness covers the earth. If you are on earth, that scripture applies. Darkness. Now the Bible says thick darkness is over the people. So satanic activity is high. They must not see. They must never see. That's why I say they must never see this book. They must never know this. We must keep it away from them. Make sure, do whatever you can do to ensure that they never see this. Darkness. Covering people. That's why the word of God is called the light. It's the light. On you, God arises. On you, his glory. His glory. Glory is light. Light. Not screaming, light, receiving insight, catching something, coming out of darkness. Coming out of darkness concerning your own life. I don't know about you, but I don't like being in the dark for anything. I don't like it. I work extra even for the church. I want the church to grow very big. So I know that then I must know certain things that I don't know yet. I'm in the dark. Whenever your results are not forthcoming, you are in the dark. Anything you are struggling to do is because you can't see. That's all. May the desire for light permeate your being. A desire to know. A desire to see. A desire to see. A restlessness. I must see. Father, when will I know what is going on? How may I, why must it be like this? Why is it still like this? Why am I like this? You don't even see your own life. Somebody is breaking forth. Now look at the results of people. Look at, we're in Isaiah, 42, right? I want you to show the result. We say, who is blind by my servant? Who? Now, this is the result. Isaiah 42, verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. And they are hid in prison houses. When you can't see, you are in a prison. When you can't see, you are being robbed every day. People are taking stuff from you. You can't even know that things are being taken from you. You are robbed. You are spoiled. To be spoiled means somebody has taken things from you. Why? You can't see. This is a people robbed. Spoiled. They are hid in prison houses. And they are for a prey. In other words, the predator is after them. People that are in the dark are the number one prey of the predator. He goes for such people first. They are easy preys. And none deliver it. For a spoil, and none says restore. So there is no hope for them. No hope for restoration. No hope that things will get better. Do you see the danger of blindness? That's why the Bible says sorrow may last for a night. Why? In the night you can't see. So as long as you are in the night, there is sorrow. As long as you are in the night, there are tears. As long as you are in the night, which is darkness, you will cry. But joy comes in the morning. What is joy? Joy means, the morning means light. When the light comes, joy comes. When information enters, joy comes. In other words, you go from crying to rejoicing. What is the difference? I'm no more under the control of ignorance. I'm no more under the control of blindness. I have begun to see Satan. I have begun to have some light. I am no more ignoramus. I can see. Your sight determines your joy. Your sight. The more darkness, the more cries.
the more mourning. Don't just dance well, see well. Can I tell you this? Don't just dress well, see well. African ladies, professional dressers. I'm telling you, you find them dressing as if they created the dressing, whatever that is, in total darkness. Triple, quadruple darkness. They are just in a total environment of darkness, but well dressed. Don't just dress well. See well. See well. Don't just smell good. See good. Sight is coming your way. Amen. I say sight is coming your way. Sight. God always reserves his best for the few. I have noticed something with God. When God, see, you know, when God checks people, and the one that keeps coming here, that the one that getting this revelation that I've given you, some people will never get this, but you will get it. It is not being given to you. Yeah, just like that. And you see, sometimes God will visit you and it looks like it's not a powerful service, it's not a big service, but that is actually where God does most of his magic, if you can allow the terminology. It's like God doesn't operate like men. Don't think it's when you dress well that God comes. Do you understand? Sometimes it is a simple service like this one that becomes the most important service of your life. Like a service like this one, if you can just connect with the Spirit of God and not say, oh, Pastor, but it's not Sunday now. You can't tell me that this is going to be better than Sunday. Who told you that God is the God of Sunday? God is the God of every day. As far as God is concerned, every day is Sunday. Every day is Sunday for God. It is you who has days. You think this day is more special than that day. As far as God is concerned, every day is special. He gives it 24 hours like the previous one. It's special. So may you not miss your day just because it wasn't Sunday. Just because you are not wearing high heels or a jacket, don't miss it. Am I communicating to you? I pray that this will never happen to us. We will not be among those that are being robbed of the great things that could have happened with their lives. Big dreams that God had for them, they were all stolen. Why? They couldn't see. They couldn't see. God sent them powerful people. They couldn't see the potential in the people. And the people were robbed back into the world. They couldn't see nothing. God sent them powerful people. God sent them powerful opportunities. But because they are blind, who is blind by my servant, they can't see. So the world keeps robbing them of the potential, robbing them of the abilities, robbing this, robbing that. They can't see. They can't see. She can't see what God has in store for her. So she allowed the world to rob her of her virginity. She can't see. He's blind. His eyes are closed. Samson. They pierce the eyes. He look big. He looks smart. Can't see. Can't see. Can't see. Making stupid decisions. Can't see. Can't see. Can't see. Sight must visit you tonight. I say the God of sight must visit you tonight. The God who causes people to see, may he come. I want you to raise your hand and begin to ask him, pray in this, but Father, cause my eyes to see. Open my spiritual. Everybody begin to pray that right now.
Amen.
The great effect of prayer on your ability to see. That's what I'm trying to talk about. But I want to show you that don't think you can see. The reason you are so relaxed is because you think you can see. When you really start seeing a little bit, you become uncomfortable. You really realize, first of all, I'm late. First of all, many things are not okay. Like when you can't see, just you start, if you can see just a little bit, you will realize that you are very comfortable. And you shouldn't be that comfortable. Yeah. It's lack of sight that creates complacency. Yeah.
If you are late for work and you don't know that you are late for work, would you be rushing? And you can't see the watch, some watch stops. Maybe the watch has stopped in the night, but you didn't know. So when you put it on, it now starts working. So you start thinking that the time you are seeing is the time. Meanwhile, it's not the time. But you are seeing this. This is all you are seeing. So you don't have the awareness that you are late to your interview. So you are relaxed. I know the Lord will make a way. You're taking all your time. You're double-checking the makeup. Why? You don't realize you are late. Then maybe you get a call from your friend who was supposed to come and collect you. Say, I've been waiting for you for the past 45 minutes. What are you doing? The interview is about to start. No. We still have time. I mean, just check your watch. He said, no, you check your watch. Check your watch. I have never seen a conscious student knowing that he is late to school. And he's walking with his hand in the pocket. I've never seen. Like you are conscious that you are late. And you are taking your time. Then you can't see. Many people are taking their time. They don't pray. Don't fast. There's no consciousness of any reality under this heaven for them. They're taking it easy. Slowly going to finish with nothing. That shall never happen to you. I'm telling you right now, your eyes are opening. Your eyes are opening. You will have your own personal fasting. There are people in this church, they say, Pastor, I have decreed my own 7 days fast. My own 3 days fast. By yourself. But the moment you see a bit of light, you will wake up. You will not wait for people to say, let's fast, and then you fast. That fasting is because you can't see yet. Oh, yes. When you begin to really see, and you begin to really see what is against you, you will come out of that food. You will come out of it. I'm telling you. So I'm not praying that you should fast. I'm praying that you should see. I'm really praying that God will open your eyes to see, because we call that spiritual awakening. That you will be awakened spiritually. Your spirit will come to life. Once your spirit comes to life, I tell you, you will come out of this joke, the small things we are doing. Pretending that we are praying, moving around. It's because you can't see. It's because you can't see. So my prayer, Father, cause them to see. Father, open our eyes. Paul Baloch wrote a song a few years ago, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. And that song ran through the whole world. I believe God really wanted us to understand that we are in the dark concerning so many, concerning him, his plans for humanity, his plans for our lives. We are in the dark. The light is coming. I say light is coming. If you believe that your light is coming, shout amen. The great effects of your prayer. Let's quickly look here today. I'm not going to finish everything. We're just going to say a few things and we're going to go. Let's go to Mark 8, verse 23. I've shared this before, but I'm coming back on it. The Bible says, and Jesus took the blind man. That statement is a clear proof to you that Jesus is not okay with blindness. Who is blind but my servant? So Jesus is not okay with his servant being blind. So Jesus took the blind man. He took him by the hand. I see Jesus taking you literally by the hand like this. He said, my daughter, you can't see this thing. So let me, come here. I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to pull you out of it. I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to pull you out of a life of death. There are some of us, we depend on death. We don't know that death are not good. We can't see that death is a graveyard. So, but I see Jesus taking some of us by the hand, literally, taking you by the hand and pulling you out of a life of death. Completely. There are people listening to me right now.
They don't know that food is not always good. So I see Jesus taking you because you are blind to that reality. So I see Jesus holding you by the hand and taking you into a life of consecration, where you have a spirit of consecration that I need to learn to bring my body under subjection. I can't be a slave to my body. My body is a slave to me. I see Jesus pulling you out of this life where you are so dependent on your stomach. The Bible says that their God is their stomach. Their God is their stomach. In the midnight, copper beans.
I want beans. Beans.
Hey, what do you want? Beans. Okay. Don't worry. Wake up. Midnight. Go in the kitchen. Take a can of beans. Choco. Open. Take, I don't know what else. What do you put? Mayonnaise inside. And sit. Eat. Then go back to sleep. You sleep again. The moment you woke up in the morning, you are not thinking about the scripture. You are thinking about, what am I going to eat when I leave here? I go to the bath. After the bath, what will happen? Scrambled eggs. No. I had that yesterday. Now let me try fried eggs. Seven slides. Yesterday I did 5 slides and I fell hungry before 12. So let me put you 7 slides and let's see from there. Look at your plans. A human being. Other people are planning how they're going to build a bridge. You are planning how you're going to fill your stomach. People are planning because you can't see. Once you can't see your future, all you can see is the pot in the kitchen. That's all you can see. People who dream about the fridge and the pots, their sight has been totally destroyed. No sight. They dream about food. In fact, I sense that many of you here, the way you love food is the reason why you are poor. The Bible says, he who loves pleasure shall be poor. He who loves pleasure, and food is a form of pleasure. He who loves pleasure shall be poor. Now, there is no success in pleasure. People who like nice things will never be rich. Can't. Because every achievement requires a sacrifice. So people that love pleasure cannot sacrifice. Therefore, they can never rise. Write that down. People who can sacrifice cannot rise. They cannot rise. Now, the reason they don't sacrifice is because they can't see any. They only see the pain of sacrifice. They don't see the glory of the after pain of the sacrifice. They can't see. They can't see. You only see that it's going to be difficult to fast from 6 to 6. But you don't see what that can bring to you. You don't see the blessings that are waiting for you on the other side. If you can just start fasting every single Friday, we've been fasting this whole year. I'm very grateful to the Lord. The entire year, we've been fasting every Friday. Every Friday, we're fasting Friday to 6 to 6. Have you seen that before? You go count the days. How many times you fasted this year? If you are really fasting, it's something. Next year, I will push a little bit more. You need a coach sometimes to help you. Ask your neighbor, ever since you've been eating, what changed? With all the food you've been eating. Nothing. What changed? No, of all the food you've been eating, ask them, all this food you've been eating since the womb, because some of you started this eating business right in the womb. You start copper KFC, copper beans. You've been eating since the womb. What has changed?
What has changed? Why don't you try to reduce the eating and see what can change? Why can't you just change a bit and see what can change, if you can change? When I change, what happens? Everything changes. Everything changes. So we are entering December, the month of total lack of self-discipline, the month of foolishness and stupidity, the month where even the wisest become the stupidest. I promise you, this month is the month of the unthinkable. People without money are spending more than people with money. This month. People with no future, instead of sitting home and planning their life, they are busy running around the streets as if that was going to change something. Instead of sleeping enough and waking up and pushing your life, okay, December. What does that mean? What does that mean, December? What has changed? So some people feel like we mustn't be fasting. In fact, for some people, we could have closed all the services only Sunday. And why must we be coming here on Friday to pray? You see, you can't see. It's your lack of sight that is causing you to feel that we shouldn't be fasting on Friday. We should be relaxing. But we shall not be finished. I say your sight is returning to you. Look at Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. There is an area that you need to come out before you can ever see anything. There are some habits that you need to come out of before you will ever be able to see anything. There are some relationships that you need to come out of before you will ever be able to see the first dawn of the day. As long as you are in that village. And I like this. The guy was not in a town. People who don't see always end up in lower ranks. In the village. Lack of sight descends your destiny to a village's level. You start living a village life. People with that sight. You know how the people live in a village? People of the village have no vision. You can wake up at any time. They don't have a time to wake up. You understand? It's not like in the city, most people are at work by 8. So you have to be on your way. In the village, some wake up at 6, some at 9, some at 10, some at 5. Everybody does what they want. It's a village lifestyle. And they don't have also time to return. Some can go at 9, come back at 10. Hey, I went there and I worked. Ooh, I worked so hard. I'm back. There's no discipline. Am I communicating to you? You cannot go to a village and you find that these people, they all have a time to start and a time to finish. It's different for everybody. So there's no order in a village. There's no order. A village mentality is that there's no order. There's no discipline. There's no direction. Anything goes. Go to except villages that have turned into towns. Everybody builds the way they like. Do you understand? You just wake up and say, okay, put the kitchen there. Then another day you wake up and say, you know, put another kitchen over there. My son just came back from the village, built him a house that side. Everybody's just doing what they like. No direction, no order. It's a village mentality. And that is the mentality. A person who can't see the streets that are going to pass here, can't see light. Fighting for the tree. The tree must not go down because our ancestors are living inside that tree. Outside, tell your neighbor, come out of the village. Come out now. Come out of the village. Village man. Ask him, are you a village man? Are you a village woman? Eh? Are you a village man? Why do I have the feeling that you are a village person? Hey. Village lifestyle is coming out of you in Jesus' name. When he had spit on the man's eyes, Jesus went to great lengths to heal this person. He even spat on him. Spit on him. What is that?
Where does spit come out of? Mouth. The word of God. The word. The reason I'm not working among you sometimes, because you see, when you preach, you spit at the same time. This microphone can, if this microphone is honest, it will tell you a lot of truth. So as you are speaking, you are spitting. So Jesus began to spit and speak and spit and speak and spit and speak. And then he put his hands on him, a touch. And Jesus asked, do you see anything? So Jesus wants this man to see. I want you to know that Jesus is asking you a question. When you come to church on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning, Jesus is asking, did you see anything? Not did you feel anything? Did you see anything? I see people dancing without no sight. We can dance it for you. I think we can dance it for you. But when you are finished dancing, Jesus just comes by your side and says, did you see anything? Did you see anything in this service, in the service today? After that message, did you see anything? Did you see anything? Do you see anything? Do you know that if the spirit of sadness starts coming, when your pastor starts preaching, you start to see. You begin to see. That must change. Oh, that must change. Hey, I must stop that. You know, when you are really in a high frequency, I'm not talking about people who are here for entertainment. I'm talking about people who are here for transformation. As your pastor is preaching, you are not entertained. You are transformed. You are transformed. After a message, an anointed message is a direct transformation. Things must stop happening. Things must be cut. See anything? Is there anything that you see today? What am I saying? What is God? What is God challenging to stop? Otherwise, you fall into spectatorialism. You are a spectator. Oh, did you see it? It was nice. Wow. But no change. No change. Do you see? Do you see? Do you see? Do you? A pastor said he went to the U.S., preached a powerful message. After he finished preaching the message, some of his assistant pastor said, hey, pastor, wow. That's why we wanted you to come to the U.S. Wow, look at the message. He said, okay. So what did you learn? He said, no, pastor, hey, you know, I got 4 messages from your message. He said, really? You got 4 messages from my message? Except that you didn't get the message. So as I'm teaching, you are writing sermons for your people. Nothing is coming to you. You are not receiving the message. You are receiving messages to go and give. There is nothing you are seeing on your own life. That must change. You are just seeing things you need to go and share with yourself people and impress. He says to him, you are still very far. If you got 4 messages from my message, except the message I came to preach, Wafa. This is a good December message. I mean, on a Friday, it's a very good message. It's necessary. Necessary. Very necessary. You are coming out of there. Fast. Very, very fast. Not a good place. It's not a good place. So the word of the Lord came tonight. If you finish with that Mark 18, you will see that Jesus continued working on him until he could see. And when he could see, Jesus told him, don't go back in that village. And that's the mistake some of us make. God causes you to see, then you go right back to the thing that took away your sight. Because you can't see it. Yeah. I believe Jesus is building a strong church in this place. A strong church that is made of people that have a great conviction, people that have a heart for God, people that are ready to serve God, people that are not playing church. You don't play church. We are the church. Can you play what you are?
Can you play being seer? Why? Huh? Can you play being seer yende? Why? You are seer yende. So, when I see the church playing the church, it's because the church doesn't know who he is or who she is. I can't play who I am. I am the church. Why should I play church? Why should I play? But can you play being you? You are you. I don't play. I am. So as we are finishing strong, tell yourself, this life will bring glory to God. God will have glory out of my life. And I'm going to contaminate the environment around me. Everybody around me. Let nobody around you in 2019 be a weak Christian again. You are responsible. Your Christianity must be strong enough to contaminate people around you. It's like a charcoal that is hot. Can a hot charcoal, what happened when a charcoal is hot and another charcoal near it is cold? Isn't it that the intensity moves from hot to the other one, and before I know it, the other one becomes also hot? So where is this thing coming from? Where you are hot, but you are being influenced by coldness. You know, it's simple. When one hot coal finds itself among a whole lot of cold coals, eyes, if you would, no matter how good your intentions are, they will overpower you. So you need to create an environment around you where you don't get overpowered, but you overpower. I don't like being around people that I feel they are still overpowering me for now. I play away. I want to overpower them. So if I want to overpower you, I cannot spend a lot of time with you. Because there is a time when in a relationship, one person is stronger than the other. So there are times where you are stronger than the unbeliever. And there are times where the unbeliever is stronger than you. So if you keep spending time with a person that is stronger than you in his wickedness, he will overpower you. So you cut them for a while. You stay away from them until you build yourself strong enough. When you feel that you are strong, you go and test them again. You keep trying them. When you feel that they still know more than you do, you keep going away. And a time is going to come where you will overpower them. Yeah. Communicating. Stand on your feet and give a hand of praise to Jesus Christ.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. To experience our services live, join us every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. at Alive Street Church, Sun City, located near Cornerstone Academy. Hope to see you soon. Remember, you're alive to give life.